Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, and we're looking at the book of Daniel, looking for signs of the times of the days in which we live. Folks, you really can't find the United States of America in Bible prophecy. You have to stretch to find it, but we can find lots of the nations today. And today, one of the nations in the news is Iraq, and that is ancient Babylon. It was ancient Babylon that carried off the Jews into captivity, where Daniel and the Hebrew children were. And I trust you've been able to be with us. If you have not, please, if you can, order our eschatology on the book, our school that we've just finished on the book of Daniel. Out here at Prayer Mountain, about 200 people came from all over the country. And we just looked at this book of Daniel in 6 hours a day for 4 days. We have it available with pictures for you to see and much better teaching than I'm doing now. But I'm just trying to whet your appetite, because so much now that's happening is a fulfillment of what, and it helps us watch the times to look at the book of Daniel. We're going to look now at Daniel chapter 7. Remember that we recapped yesterday the second chapter of Daniel, in which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had a vision of an image which gave the entire times of the Gentiles. Jesus said there is a time, the times of the Gentiles. He spoke of it in Luke 21. It's a measurable amount of time, and it is the time that the Gentiles held sway over Israel. And so Daniel chapter 2 gives Nebuchadnezzar's image. Here we're going to see Daniel's own dream of it. Nebuchadnezzar saw it as an image of minerals. Daniel sees these governments as beasts. And that tells us that God sees them as beasts. Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions in his mind while upon his bed. He then wrote the dream, relating the major parts. Now, the Hebrew is very interesting here. It says he told the head of the words. Major parts, the head of the words. When Daniel, and this is one of the sages, Malbim, when Daniel wrote his dream, he was writing scripture. A scribe, when copying scripture, is required to vocalize every word before putting it into writing. Therefore, when Daniel wrote the dream, he wrote the head of the words. A good way to say it is he gave the meaning. He gave the most important part. There are things that he didn't, and that's the way it's translated. I'm reading to you from the Art Scrolls translation of Daniel. He then wrote the dream, relating the major parts. In my vision at night, I was watching when, behold, the four winds of heaven stir up the great sea, and four immense beasts come up from the sea, different one from another. The first is like a lion with eagle's wings. I was watching till its wings were plucked, and it was removed from the earth, and it stood upon 2 feet like a man, and it was given a human heart. The first beast that Daniel sees is Babylon. The golden head that Nebuchadnezzar saw was Babylon. He sees it as a beast, a lion with eagle's wings. They had in ancient Babylon, they thought that they came from a mating of a woman with a lion. And so they always depict themselves as a lion with eagle's wings. When I go, and I believe, folks, I'll just tell you right off the bat here, I believe that the Roman Empire revived is the European Union. And when I go to the European Union and I look at the Palais de Justice, which is a good candidate for some eerie action in the last days, as you go into this, and I think I have some pictures even in the book that you'll get with this study. As you walk into the Palais de Justice, which is the Brussels Supreme Court right now, and it's an ancient building built by Leopold. It was the largest building in the Western Hemisphere, and it was built to rule the world from. And as you go in, you see the Babylonian lions with eagle's wings guarding the door. So the first he saw, Babylon, like a lion with eagle's wings, but those eagle's wings get plucked. It's just the same as the head was overtaken by the Medo-Persians. So Babylon, ancient Babylon, doesn't last forever. Then he sees a second beast. Verse 5. Behold another beast, a second one, similar to a bear. It was stood to one side. Three ribs were in its mouth, between its teeth, and thus they said to it, Arise, devour much flesh. Now this is the Persian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire. It stood to one side. The Persians stood stronger than the Medes. These ribs that are in its mouth, there are differences of opinion as to who they were. Many of the Jewish sages believe that they were three provinces which were continuously in a state of revolt to the Persian Empire. But the Persian Empire devoured much flesh. It became huge. This is the kingdom, of course, that we find out about how the Jews were threatened by Haman. Mordecai and Esther were a part of when Persia was ruling. And so Persia, when they took over from Babylon, Cyrus, you remember the Lord said even before he was ever born, he prophesied in the book of Isaiah that there would come forth Cyrus and that Cyrus would be his servant and Cyrus would overthrow the Babylonian head. Now, there's a point I want to make right here. We see Iraq on the earth right now. I believe it's undergoing some of the judgments that it will know in totality. In the Bible, it speaks of an army coming to Iraq. And I believe that some of the things that we're seeing right now are some of those judgments coming to pass. For when Babylon was overthrown by Cyrus, it was not destroyed. There is a stele, and a stele is a big, like a concrete pillar that has the historical record left by Koresh on that stele of the battle. And here's what he said. He did not destroy Babylon. It has never been destroyed. It will be destroyed as it is prophesied in the Bible. But I'm reading you this from Koresh, from Cyrus. That's the way you say Koresh. Remember David Koresh down in Waco? He was really calling himself Cyrus. So here is from the stele when Koresh overthrew Babylon. Because of their, and I'm quoting, because of their cries, the people of Babylon, the Lord of the gods became angry and searched all the countries for a righteous ruler. He called the name of Koresh, pronouncing him ruler of all the world. Without any battle, he brought him into his city, Babylon, sparing Babylon the least calamity. All the inhabitants of Babylon bowed to him and kissed his feet, jubilant that he became king and with shining faces. Happily, they greeted him as a master, by whose help they had returned to life after dying. Spared of destruction and calamity, and they worshipped his name. I am Koresh, king of the world, whose rule Bel and Nebo love, whom they want as king to please their hearts. Those were the gods of the Babylonians. When I entered Babylon, Koresh wrote, it was as a friend, and I established the governing throne in the palace of the ruler with joy and rejoicing. Marduk, the great lord, causing the inhabitants of Babylon to love me. My many troops walked around Babylon in peace. I did not allow anybody to terrorize. I strove for peace in Babylon and in all his other sacred cities. As for the residents of Babylon, I abolished their yoke, which lowered their status. I relieved them of their dilapidated housing, putting their cries to an end. In other words, Koresh is saying, Babylon was a jewel. Babylon was something to be prized. It had the hanging gardens, the famous hanging gardens of Babylon. It had the Ishtar gates. There was beautiful, and if you get our booklet, which accompanies the tapes that we'll be sending you, you'll see the picture of the Ishtar gates, or you could go online. They were brought from Babylon. They were found in situation, and they were brought from there to Berlin by Kaiser Wilhelm. And they're beautiful. That Babylon was surrounded with a beautiful wall and gates that opened out into the river. You know, the Tigris and the Euphrates are there, and in ancient Babylon. And when Daniel and the young Hebrew children came, they walked through this procession way of these beautiful gates. So we're going to find out later how they overthrew that in actuality, and how he allowed them to dry up the river sources and allowed them to be taken. But right now, that's in another chapter. Right now, we're just in the place where where Daniel is seeing the vision of the beasts. And the first beast he saw was a lion with eagle's wings. And then he saw the Persian bear. And then he saw a leopard with four bird's wings on its back. The beast had four heads, and it was given dominion. This leopard that he saw is Alexander the Great and Greece. The four bird's wings on its back, when Alexander died at a very young age, he died at 32 years of age. He had conquered most of the world, but after his untimely death, his empire was split up among four of his generals. Ptolemy took Egypt. Seleucus took Assyria and Babylon. Antigonus took Persia and Asia Minor. And Philip, Alexander's brother, took Macedonia. So we're going to see that number four. We're going to see, as God prophesies about Alexander the Great, he prophesies also that his kingdom will be divided between four. After this, I was watching in night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, excessively terrifying, awesome and strong, with immense iron teeth, was eating and crumbling and trampling the rest with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that had preceded it, and it had 10 horns. Now he sees a beast that is so horrible, and it's tramping and crumbling the world, and these iron teeth symbolize the rulers of Rome, its councils, and later its emperors, who with determination and power of iron crushed many nations for the glory and well-being of Rome, just as the teeth devour food for the well-being of the body. This is by the Jewish sage Maanai HaYeshua. It was eating and crumbling during its long history. This is Malbim, the Jewish sage. During its long history, many conquered states were absorbed by Rome and became provinces of the empire, just as food, which is chewed up and eaten, becomes part of the beast's body. And they trample the nations which were not absorbed into the empire, Malbim says, were brutally beaten into submission. So this fourth beast is the Roman Empire, which dwarfed every nation known to history. Rome's military might and power, its genius of administration. He saw that terrible thing. And we're going to begin tomorrow as we look again at this same chapter. And we're going to go into another chapter where he saw it. And you can get this in a very much better teaching that I was doing in our eschatology school. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. Show it at your church. Lots of end time teaching on it. You will enjoy that. This is Billy Brim saying shalom until tomorrow.